Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Wednesday, the 26th of January, 2022. Today, a possible vaccine made specifically for Omicron. Plus, 39 people are missing after a boat capsized off the coast of Florida, and more. Here are some of the top headlines. Omicron has a new variant cousin. Health experts say that Omicron BA2 is expected to remain relatively mild, but possibly will continue to be extremely transmissible. Crews have now contained 50% of the wildfire burning near Big Sur, California. Cal Fire said yesterday that the 700-acre blaze was sparked by hot embers from a pile-burning operation. And David Ortiz has made the Baseball Hall of Fame. But there were a number of snubs in yesterday's announcement, including no Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens to the Hall in their final year on the ballot. The fight against Omicron continues. And down the line, there may be a vaccine specifically made to fight this extremely contagious variant of COVID-19. Patient safety reporter Karen Weintraub has more on Pfizer's plans to test an Omicron vaccine in adult trials.
So Pfizer has just launched 3 clinical trials, totaling about 1,200 people, to test an Omicron-specific vaccine. So right now, we're still using a vaccine that was designed against the original COVID variant, and they want to see if it makes a big difference to have an Omicron-specific one. So that's what they're testing in 3 different groups. One are people who have been vaccinated 2 times or 3 times and then get an Omicron-specific one on top of that. And one is for people who haven't been vaccinated at all, a smaller group, who will get just this Omicron-specific variant. So we know that the current vaccines are still very good against Omicron, but not as good as against the other variants. So they had announced earlier that they expect results in March or April. So we're looking at early spring.
It's clear that vaccination and booster shots especially do keep the worst of the illness away for most people. As we mentioned last week on the show, CDC data said boosters are 90% effective at preventing hospitalizations related to Omicron. Still, only about 40% of the U.S. population is boosted, down from the 63% who are fully vaccinated. Meanwhile, the FDA has revoked authorizations for 2 antibody treatments to fight coronavirus. Officials said they are unlikely to be effective in treating Omicron, which now makes up more than 99% of cases in the country. 39 people are missing after a boat capsized off the coast of Florida. A search is underway after the Coast Guard yesterday got a call from someone who rescued a man holding on to the capsized vessel. The survivor said he left the Bahamas on Saturday night with the 39 other people before the group ran into severe weather. The boat was about 45 miles east of Fort Pierce near Port St. Lucie in South Florida, and the survivor said that no one on board was wearing life jackets. The Coast Guard is calling it a suspected human smuggling case. There are now some 127,000 Russian troops deployed near Ukraine. Russia continues to say it has no plans to formally invade Ukraine, but the U.S. and NATO are not quick to take the country up on its word. And precautions this week include thousands of U.S. troops on heightened alert. A number of weapons systems have also begun arriving in Ukraine from NATO countries. State Department spokesman Ned Price reiterated yesterday that the U.S. response would be unprecedented if Russia invades.
We have spoken consistently about the fact that swift, severe, and united response will be unprecedented, that it will entail measures that we intentionally eschewed in the past, including in 2014, when Russia last invaded Ukraine. But it also will be unprecedented in its approach. And this is the point that you were getting to, Matt. It's the point that one of my colleagues made this morning. My colleague said that, and you quoted it partially, the gradualism of the past is out, and this time we'll start at the top of the escalation ladder and stay there. Just as our partners and allies have welcomed our coordinated consultative engagements with the Russian Federation, we would certainly welcome dialogue and diplomacy that could serve to de-escalate, in which the Russian Federation engages in good faith.
President Joe Biden said that Russia would pay a dear price in economic sanctions if it attacks Ukraine, but he has maintained that American troops will not be used in combat.
Those forces in high alert are they're part of a NATO operation, not a sole U.S. operation, and I've made it clear to President Putin that we would be, we have a sacred obligation, Article 5 obligation to our NATO allies, and that if in fact he continued the buildup and or was to move, we would be reinforcing those troops. And I've spoken with every one of our NATO allies in person, or not person, virtually, and we're all on the same page. We've got to make it clear that that there's no reason for anyone, any member of NATO, to worry whether or not we NATO would come to their defense. And I may be moving some of those troops in the nearer term, just because it takes time. And again, it's not provocative. It's just exactly what I said. We have no intention of putting American forces or NATO forces in Ukraine.
For all the latest, stay with the World News section on USAtoday.com. The pandemic has brought a number of policy changes to air travel, and some for the better. Passengers have finally been more easily able to exchange tickets for other flights. But travelers need to be aware of the small print, as travel reporter Dawn Gilbertson explains.
Well, the big difference now that travelers need to be aware of is that, you know, during the pandemic, airlines were super flexible and for good reason. And now for some tickets, that flexibility is gone. And the most important type of ticket where the flexibility is gone are the popular basic economy tickets. With airlines touting the fact that they got rid of these change fees, you know, I think a lot of travelers right now are thinking, wow, I can buy any ticket and I'll be able to change it without having to pay, you know, a fee that in the past was, you know, $200 in many cases. But the thing that travelers need to be aware of is that for airlines' cheapest tickets, basic economy tickets and bargain tickets on, you know, the discounters, that flexibility is no longer there. You won't be able to change those in some cases. And in other cases, you can change them, but you still pay a change fee. So now more than ever, with all the pandemic travel waivers, you know, by and large gone, travelers really, really need to be careful when they're buying plane tickets and look at the fine print, especially if you think there's any chance you may have to make any kind of change to this flight in the future. And one more thing that people need to be aware of, you know, if you do buy a ticket with flexibility, don't confuse flexibility with refundability. The only way you're going to get a refund with these tickets, even if you pay up and you know, it says flexible, you know, in the fare and it says you can change it. That doesn't mean you're going to get your money back. The only way you're going to get your money back is if it's a refundable ticket or if the airline happens to cancel your flight, but you can't bet on that.
You can find Dawn's full story in today's episode description. With inflation surging around the country, the Federal Reserve today is expected to signal that it will raise interest rates as soon as March. The Fed's short-term interest rate has remained locked near zero since the pandemic began in 2020. That's fueled borrowing and spending by consumers and businesses, but also inflation, which is now rising at its fastest pace in nearly four decades. The Fed last month said it expects three rate increases this year as it works to balance economic recovery from the pandemic while fighting to curb inflation. Thanks for listening to Five Things. You can find us on whatever your favorite podcast app is, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and your smart speaker. Thanks to PJ Elliott for his great work on the show, and I'm back tomorrow with more of Five Things from USA Today.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at DanaFarber.org/everywhere.